Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for November 10th, 2006. This week, we learn about a parasite that may be affecting the global sex ratio, and a robot snail that could soon be crawling around in your intestines. But first, Chelsea Wald answers this listener's question about a common winter fabric.
That chill in the air means it's time to dig up our musty old sweaters, which may be why listener Christy Rowe from Moss Landing, California asked how some wools are made washable. We turn to wool researcher Jeanette Cardamone of the Agricultural Research Service.
And it has to do with the structure of the wool fiber itself. The wool fiber has scales on its surface, and it looks very much like shingles on a roof.
When normal wool is washed, these rough scales lock together and make the fibers shrink. But some chemical treatments, including an environmentally friendly one that Cardamone invented, make the scales smooth and unable to lock together, meaning your sweater's size is safe. If you have a science question, submit it at scienceupdate.com or call 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use it in the podcast, you'll win a Science Update mug, guaranteed not to shrink or itch.
Thanks, Chelsea. Humans may have domesticated horses 5,600 years ago in northern Kazakhstan, according to archaeologist Sandra Olson at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History. She and her colleagues report finding evidence of ancient post holes arranged in large circles, corral style. Within these rings, they found soil with increased levels of nitrogen, phosphorus, and other elements consistent with levels found in horse manure. In other geological news, researchers from the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill report that the Amazon River once flowed westward into the Pacific, rather than east into the Atlantic as it does today. They could track the flow by studying layers of tiny zircon crystals and how they grew. The scientists say that the mighty river reversed its flow over 100 million years ago when the Andes Mountains formed in the west. Next, Justin Warner has a report on a new finding that has the potential to change the way scientists think about the worldwide sex ratio.
Overall, a pregnant woman has about a 51-49% chance of having a boy or girl, respectively. But a common parasitic infection may skew those odds much more in favor of boys. This according to preliminary data from over 1,800 births, analyzed by Yaroslav Flieger and his colleagues at Charles University in the Czech Republic. They found that among women with silent infections of the parasite Toxoplasma, the ratio of boys to girls was 60-40, respectively. Women with the highest levels of Toxoplasma antibodies had 72 boys for every 28 girls. Why should this be? Well, Flieger explains that across all pregnancies, most of the embryos conceived are actually male. But because the mother's immune system perceives male embryos as slightly foreign, they're much more vulnerable to miscarriage. A dormant Toxoplasma infection, however, can mildly suppress the mother's immune system.
And when there is some immunosuppression, for example, this immunosuppression induced by Toxoplasma, more male embryos survive.
He adds that from Toxoplasma's point of view, the sex ratio shift may not be a coincidence. He explains that the primary carriers of the parasite are rodents, and male rodents tend to migrate much further than their female counterparts.
So they spread the infection in much longer distances. So it's useful for Toxoplasma to shift the sex ratio.
There's also evidence that Toxoplasma makes its carriers more adventurous and prone to risk-taking, which could further encourage them to carry the infection far from home.
Thanks, Justin. Well, speaking of parasites, you might be alarmed if your doctor told you you had snails in your intestines. Fortunately, he or she could only be describing proposed new robotic snails that may someday crawl through the human intestine to diagnose diseases. According to biomedical engineer Dimitra Dodu at Delft University of Technology in the Netherlands, such a device could provide a more comfortable alternative to colonoscopy. She says the challenge is finding a way to navigate the intestine's uneven, slippery terrain.
Imagine that you have to move inside a deflated balloon, and this balloon also it is covered with a lubricated material.
Rather than fight the lubrication, Dodu and her colleagues sought to imitate the snail, which both sticks to and slides on its trail of slime. They found that chemicals called mucoadhesives created enough friction for a simple device to walk across a pig's intestine. They're also fine-tuning patterns of motion in order to create a sure-footed prototype that still treads lightly on delicate tissue. Finally, in other technology news, the next time you fly, you might want to check not only the weather on Earth, but on the sun as well. Chelsea explains.
Scientists have discovered that powerful solar flares can cause some GPS receivers to fail, including the kind used by airplanes to navigate. Cornell engineer Paul Kintner says it's lucky they found the problem now, when the sun is at its lowest point of activity during its 11-year cycle.
GPS is primarily entering our technical infrastructure during a period of solar minimum. Solar maximum will be about 2011. So one of the reasons we're publishing these results is so people know that while they've become used to GPS not being affected by space weather, in several years or 5 years, it will be affected by space weather, and they should be aware of that.
Kintner explains that the radio waves that accompany strong solar flares happen to be in the same frequencies used by a GPS and can confuse certain receivers. What's more, the flares could affect the entire sunward side of the planet. Kintner says that now aviation officials know about this, they're creating backup plans to prevent a disaster, although passengers will probably have to deal with space weather delays in addition to the normal terrestrial weather ones. What really worries him, though, are the other systems that may not have backup plans.
See, GPS is wedded into our infrastructure in ways that many people are not fully aware of. For example, the U.S. power grid is synchronized using GPS receivers. Many parts of the internet are synchronized using GPS receivers. Some secure financial transactions use GPS receivers to assure that the transaction, once it's been launched, is received promptly and has not been waylaid in between. So the whole issue of timing is also part of the utility of GPS, and those may very well be affected.
He says GPS is just one example of why new technologies should be adopted with caution and the expectation that unexpected problems will arise.
Thanks, Chelsea. Well, that's all for this week. Next time, we'll talk about how DNA identification is helping scholars learn more about the Dead Sea Scrolls and also about a genetic condition that makes musicians. In the meantime, our website remains scienceupdate.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirsch for AAAS, the Science Society.